We go to the book of Daniel now. Chapter number 6. This time, I want to read it myself for just for emphasis. It's a Bible study. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read it before we go to Daniel chapter 6. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, all scripture, all, including the book of Daniel, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that the man, that the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly, properly furnished, equipped unto all good works. So let's see what we can learn that can perfect us, that can furnish every one of us unto all good works from the book of Daniel. That's all we've been trying to catch from this study of the book of Daniel. Because God has a divine agenda. The divine agenda for the salvation of mankind after we fell in the Garden of Eden. The agenda to restore us back to what he intended it to be in the Garden of Eden is what has been going on since the fall of mankind. That agenda is what is going on. And this divine agenda or the divine program of God is what the whole of this Bible is all about. And it's important that we catch this agenda so that we will take the proper bearing, correct bearing, so that we know how we interpret and understand the things that happen to us, happen to man generally. There is nothing happening in the world today that God didn't know. And he has prepared to face it. Some are arranged by him. Some are arranged by the devil, and God allows it. Did you catch my English? Some are arranged by God himself. And some things happen around the world, they are arranged by the enemy, Satan. But God, who has the power to stop it, does not stop it. He allows it. He didn't send it, oh, but he allows it, because even at the end, he will use it to work out his purpose. And it's important, because if we don't know this, then we will face a lot of frustrations. When certain things happen to you and you cannot explain it. Some of us, we try by all means to live a life that is pleasing before God. So you will think that since I am not involved in anything sinful, I follow this Bible letter to letter, I live a life of holiness, you expect that God will give you a special protection. But sometimes you will discover that now you, when they live like that, then they suffer past. Now if you don't understand, you begin to think as if, but I was not like this when I was an unbeliever. Is there anything I'm doing wrong? But when you understand it, amen, then you will take, you know, the right attitude and the right actions. Amen. And to help you understand how you are to react to such, he set up, left certain characters in the Bible for us to learn from them, so that when our own confront us, we will look at the scripture. This is happening to me. Did it happen to anybody else that can be an example to me? And it is both negative and positive. I am the Lord. I change it not. It is because people don't study the Bible. That's why they don't know how to walk with God. The Bible expects us to be perfect. Be ye perfect. Amen. And if you are going to be perfect, then there's a lot of work to be done. Be ye perfect is a commandment. And don't paint it anyhow. Don't begin to justify it because you think no man can be perfect. If no man can be perfect, then why will he command you to be perfect? And I know we have sometimes, to excuse ourselves, we reduce the meaning of that terminology, perfection, to mean maturity. Yes. Yes. The usage of the word perfect, perfection, can also mean maturity. He told the Hebrew, let us move on to perfection. Let us move away from these elementary things and move to perfection. So we say it's maturity. And when you talk of maturity, then perfection goes in there, because when you are matured, there are expectations. There is a way that a matured person acts. It is that maturity that defines perfection. Because what perfection does is, what maturity does is, it enables you to know how to live life, how to do things. So be perfect. And that perfection cannot be attained once, you grow into it. And the only way to grow into it is study the word. When we say study the word, I didn't say cram the word. People go and cram the Bible, cram, and then they sing it like song. There are people, that is why I keep saying it, I'm emphasizing this, so that you won't think we're just, I want you to know where your attention should be for your spiritual growth. That's why I keep telling you, we make the mistake of thinking that you are spiritual because you are gifted. There are gifted people that don't know Bible. Amen. There are gifted people that don't know Bible. There are gifted people that the only good thing around them is the gift. Any other thing in their life is negative because they are not able to understand this God that is using them. And the only way to understand him is study the Bible. So you read the Bible is different from studying the Bible. If you study the Bible, if you study the Bible, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You will learn so many things. You can study the Bible to know about forgiveness. You can study. Do you know this Bible is so wonderful? You can study the Bible and even know how to kill your enemies if you want them to die. It's in the Bible. And if you study it, amen. If you want your Bible, your enemy to die, if you study this Bible, it's not to go for dry fasting and carry his name and say, fall down and die by fire, die by fire. He will never die. But it is there in the Bible. Study. Amen. And if you study this Bible very well, you will discover relationship with God is sweet. There is solution to every problem before man in this Bible. There is solution. Every problem, mention any problem that you think you have, that somebody did not go through it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The account of such is in the Bible. I'm saying this so that you take seriously what we are doing. by these studies, you will discover that our emphasis in the restoration ministry is the study of the word. Because Christianity is reduced to what it is today because they have abandoned the word. They've abandoned the guide for the Christian faith. They've abandoned the manual for working with God, the scriptures. And God is raising ministers at this end time to bring the people back to the word. You can never have a correct relationship with God until you come to the word. God's meeting point with every believer is in his word. If you want to be with God, come to his word. You want to walk with God, come to his word. It is not the number of hours that you pray. It is the knowledge of who he is that guides you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The reason why I told you some time ago that where there is a proper relationship between a man and a woman that are married, just watch it. When there is true love, when there is a close relationship, watch it. After some years, the man and the woman will begin to look alike, even structurally, their face. It's a mystery. Amen. But that is the truth. That is the power of sweet fellowship. And because they are closely knit together. Even. Amen. So it is with God. You want to be like Jesus? Come to the word. The more of God's word you have in you, the more of his image you become. It's so important. Don't drop your Bible. And that is what Satan is fighting with the modern day technology, especially the social media, internet. So many things to take your attention away from God. Because he knows, the more you give your attention to the study of the word, the more of the image of God you will form. And the more you put your attention on the things of the world, the more worldly you will become. You are what you feed yourself with. Praise the Lord. Oh, this sister's skin is glowing. Oh, the skin, the brother's skin is shining. Amen. It is not the cream that is rubbed outside. It is what you eat inside that reflects outside. It is the type of food you eat that makes your skin to glow. Amen. It is not the fellowship you identify with, but what you eat in that fellowship that produces the type of Christian you are. And that's why we give so much time to the preaching of the word. Believing that without faith, revelation, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Two groups of believers came before the Lord to offer sacrifice, Cain and Abel. One was accepted. One was rejected. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. He says, for by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And his own was accepted. By faith, that is by revelation. You cannot approach God anyhow. Before you come, find out, how am I to do it? You are a Christian. You give your life to Christ. And all you are interested in is the church address. To check which one is the latest church? Which one is the latest church? Which one is the happening church? Which one? Let me join it. You will miss it. Find out, how am I to worship this God now that I am a Christian? And you will not find that in your church. You will only find out in the Bible. Because your church may be a doesn't matter church. Your church may be a church of a man and his wife, not the church of Jesus Christ. And how do we know? Churches preach and advertise their own church, or advertise the man of God. But a true servant of God points you to Christ, points you to the Word. Praise the Lord. I'm saying this so that when you come here, you will understand the love of God for you that brought you here. So, what do we have to learn from the story of Daniel? Moses, Daniel, and John in the Isle of Patmos. These three people God chose in this, to use them to let us understand his divine agenda. Through Moses, we're able to know how the earth was created. It's through Moses we're able to know why man is in the condition that we are in, what actually happened that makes Satan take over the whole earth, the mystery of iniquity. And through Moses, hallelujah, God gave a shadow of what he was going to do in future, known as the first covenant, which has become old covenant now. The law. God used Moses. And then he moved forward and chose a Jew again, Daniel, to let us understand again another side, another picture of this of his divine agenda. And you just leave the stories there. And then John in the Isle of Patmos, he sent him to that island, met with him there, and gave another, divine agenda. And John, hallelujah, what John saw is also largely what he also revealed to Daniel. And John saw the end of all things. Of course, there are others that also saw, part of this divine agenda. Apostle Paul saw part of it. Apostle Paul even saw the three stages of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul saw it. Apostle Paul saw so many other things. And other apostles too. And we too, we must see it in our own age. Amen. And that is why we take so much time. And I know that the bride of Christ worldwide are gaining from this study. And their spiritual life, their Christian faith is becoming better and better and better. And some of them here today, your spiritual life is becoming better, better, better. Can I see those? Don't put up your hand if your spiritual life is going down instead of going up. If your own is improving, your relationship with God is improving, wave your hand. It's for the glory of God. Okay, so many here today. The rest of you that are not able to lift up your hands, after we finish today, may your own hand too be lifted up in Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 6. This is a story. And it just looks like a story, but it's not just a story. It pleased Darius. Remember, Darius took over from Belshazzar and ended the Babylonian Empire. This is the second empire now. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, over those 120, he set up again three presidents that those 120 will be under, of whom Daniel was one of them, the first. That the princes, those 120, might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and princes, jealousy don't come in now, sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But he could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Oh, glory be to God. Can't you learn something here? Jesus himself said, the prince of this world cometh, but you will find nothing in him. That is, accuse me, search me, you will see nothing. You will see nothing, nothing, nothing. And I'm aware, even in a ministry like this, pastors, all of us, when they stand here preach, all the ministers, listen, they look us. They search us. I will not be surprised if some of them are not going behind to look for my bank account to see the balance there. They search us, search us. Oh, they search us. So make sure you don't give occasion for that. Amen. But my emphasis is that they will look for fault. But please, try by all means that if they see, then try. For no man is without fault. And you will always see what you want to see anywhere you go and whosoever you meet. It is what you want to see, you will see. It is what you look for, you find. He who seeks will find. If you want to look for the bad side of me, you must see it. Because that is what you are looking for. But you want to look for the good side of me, you also see it. Because that is what you are looking for. But what will I gain by looking for the bad side of you? Let me look for the side of you that I can benefit from. I cannot benefit from your bad side. So why am I putting my attention on your bad side? It's a problem you have without knowing it. And I say it again, it is what you are looking for, you will see. If you tell God, show me all the demons in brother assembly, Lord, and you fast, as you enter church, you will see one standing by the altar. Then you carry your Bible and run. Demons are in that church. Then you will tell me where demons know they. Even where God was fellowshipping with his children, Satan came there. So you will show me where Satan no fit go, where demons no dey. That's the truth. You enter a house. Is there anywhere, whether na your house, whether na you build them, or na you buy the land, or whatever, or na tenant, or you be, there is nowhere Satan cannot go. But if you say, Lord, I want to see the angel, your presence in the church today, as you enter, that same place where somebody sees demon, you, your own, you will see an angel standing there. What you seek is what you will find. Why were you looking for demon? How will you benefit when you see demon standing by your side? And William Branham summarized it this way. He said, it is who you talk about that the Spirit will come. If you talk about the Holy Ghost, he said the Holy Ghost will come. And if you talk about demon, he said demons will fool that place. That's why some churches who said they are deliverance ministers, demons come there to give them work. Die by fire. Everything a demon. So if you are marrying an unbeliever, sister is attending that church, be careful when he come back from nightclub, because he went to nightclub, your unbelieving husband, and he's coming with demons. Don't let him touch you, because he will transfer demons from the nightclub into you. Then, as you enter, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. Husband, where you're supposed to go hug and use love and win him to Christ, you are running away from him because you are not seeing somebody that the mercy of God can touch as he touched you. You are seeing demon possessed. Stop that lifestyle. Stop it. Your spiritual life will never progress. Everybody around you will be possessed. Listen, I'm saying this for emphasis. Everybody, there is nobody that does not have one negative thing. Do you know anger? There is a demon behind anger. Tell me who knows they get angry. Amen. And do you know that your dream is also a function of your state of mind before you sleep? That's what you will see. And when you begin to live a life of suspect everybody, before you know what? Your house help, possess. Your driver, possess. Your secretary, possess. In fact, your son, possess. Your daughter, possess. Can't you see the way she do her head like this? I was asking the Lord, why is this girl always like this, like this? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they search Daniel. What will we use now against him? Okay, let's continue with the story. I will say something. Verse 5. See their plan. Then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. This is a confirmation of what I told you last week. Listen. Amen. Listen. Oh. Satan. Before Satan can get anybody, before Satan starts his assignment on you, he does what soldiers do. He does some reconnaissance of your life. He does some intelligence investigation about your life. He studies you very well. Which one will I use to make this woman of God, this man of God, this child of God, this prayer warrior, this one, when they do holy, 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 I must bring you down. But how will I do? Church, I have said it before. Amen. Me here. Satan is not going to attack me with sickness. Listen very well. We are not unaware of the device of Satan. Satan is not going to attack you, Pastor Francis. If your leg, they pay you, they say, an attack. No, small demon will just hit you small. The real assignment is not that, you know. He will look you, because what does he want to achieve? Hallelujah. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Death was the last stage that he got Jesus. What was the first thing he did? Say this one, they claim, say, the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. So what is he after? He's after your ministry. So, the Son of God will do miracles, signs and wonders. And he was going to give Jesus to concentrate on the ministry of turning stones to bread. To prove that he's anointed. Listen, when Satan is going to come, any area that you see Satan got you and pulled you down. Yesterday, we were discussing with my brother and sister Godwin, and we were remembering ministries that were on fire in those days.
Where are they today? Where are those fire? Permit me to call some names so that you'll understand what I am saying. And it's not being derogatory. It is for us. If they talk the story of Judas in the Bible, they mention his name. It's for us to learn. We can also call names now. And it's not sacrilegious. Where is Oduyemi's ministry today? Where is Awunsi Esowe ministry today? Where is Ayorinde today? Where are all of them that you were hearing names? Fire, everywhere. Mighty move everywhere. Where are they today? And I pray that one day, somebody will not say, where is Bride Assembly today? Because I am learning from them. He will look at you to finish you. And he can do that assignment on you for up to 10 years. Follow you till he bring you down. And some of us, he has gotten us and we don't even know that we are just flowing. There are many of us that we are living in yesterday's grace. Today's grace totally empty. And it's very easy to see those ministers. Hey, in those days like this, all their story now, pastors. Where is that God that used you mightily that time? Why is he no more using you now? Why were you able to be praying 3 hours before, non-stop before? Why are you not praying the same now? When the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Something happened that the fire died. And it was an assignment and you didn't know it. And some of us were still in that fallen estate. Rise, we cannot rise. Because you were a target. And he finished you. Finished you. And do you know why it is difficult to rise? The thing that he uses to pull you down is always something that will affect your conscience. When you remember what you did that bring you to the estate that you are in, that is for a true child. I'm not talking about serpent seeds. A serpent seed, he says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eated and wiped her face, her mouth, and says, I have done no evil. Now, what happened? Who see me? No conscience. The Bible speaks about people whose conscience is seared with a hot iron. I'm talking about genuine children of God. It is only a genuine child of God that will do something and the conscience will not live in. That is one evidence that Judas was a seed of God. Your conscience will so condemn you until you can't recover except the grace of God comes upon you. Now, you know, in several other estates that we are in, the devil attacks you so that your ministry becomes worthless. William Branham put it this way. He said, when you have something precious and Satan sees that he cannot take it from you, he said, what he will do is, he will do something that precious thing that you have will have no value. He cannot take it from you, but it will be valueless. He said, he will push you and that thing inside the gutter. Potopoto, put you there so that by the time you come out, nobody is no longer attractive. You see? And so, I say, before Satan can catch a minister that stands at the altar preaching righteousness, hold microphone, and Satan decides that of all the area I will use to bring him down is fornication, it is because in you, pastor, there is fornication inside. Because, hallelujah, he said, the prince of this world cometh, but he will find nothing in me. That is why, wake up and clean up yourself, clean up your life. Let him not use anger. Let him not use unforgiveness. Let him not use covetousness. The spirit of covetousness is very deadly. Covetousness makes people commit murder. To have.
Amen. See. So when we preach, we are not preaching. I'm not preaching here as one that is totally over. I am watching also. I don't need a prophet to tell me that Satan is after me. That's why I have prayed to God several times, and I'm not saying this to be humble. I say, Lord, raise up pillars for my ministry. Among them, raise up intercessors that will hold me, so that this old demon will not get me. And that should be your prayer too. The only thing that they found, as far as Daniel was concerned, was if you want to get him in the area of his faith. Because you know he will not compromise. So we will use it and kill him. Amen. Hallelujah. And today, Satan is still using the same thing. To finish us in the area of our faith. Somebody will come and tell you in your office, one day your boss will just come and tell you, why is all this? You're not wearing a ring. You either put on a ring or you leave this office, leave this job. And then you begin to think, hey, now the only work where they do, they sustain myself with this. Hey, now the only way where they use to sustain myself with this. Because he knows if he come to you, you won't open your leg for him, sister. And you are here, you are doing holy. All the bad things they are doing in this office, you know they followed you. He cannot tell you, oh yeah, you must come and falsify figure. You must come and lie. You must come and join us and chop money. The only thing they will do is to come to you in the area of your faith. And so, don't call pastor. So, pastor, see what my boss is saying. What will I do? Pastor, pray for me. Oh. Pastor, pray for me. Oh. You will see here that Daniel did not call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, arise, all compatriots. Amen. When it was the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not cry to Daniel, you are the commander there. Oh, come on. They want to see, they are telling us that we should dance one funny dance here and bow before one image here. We not do more. Arise, all compatriots. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we will not even think about it. You are correct. If you want to get me, come in the area of my faith. And then he added, I know my God will deliver us. Then he added two things. I know he will deliver. He said, I know. That is revelation. Then he added, even if he doesn't, it's another revelation. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom. See, they are lying. Was Daniel in that meeting? The governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statue. Now, lie, Daniel was not there. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, they didn't need to make it forever because Daniel, before he reached one, we will go catch up. Save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Verse 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Mumu. What kind of leader is that? Okay, remember, it is a times of the Gentile, and the time of the Gentile is a period of the worship of man. And now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, they don't sign that thing. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber. Towards where? Towards where? Towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees. How many times in a day? 3 times in a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Take note of that last statement. As he did aforetimes. That means that was his routine. Daniel was in the habit of praying 3 times in a day. And he has a way of kneeling down. Praise the Lord. And he faced where? He faced where? Now you should ask your question now. Why will he face Jerusalem? Why specifically Jerusalem? Praise the Lord. The reason is in 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 30. When the temple was built, and Solomon came to dedicate that temple. What did he say? Verse 30, 1 Kings chapter 8. And he was praying and dedicating the temple. And he prayed so many, said so many things. But my emphasis is on verse 30. And he said, "And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place. And hear thou in heaven, that dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. When they shall pray towards which place? Towards the temple." Verse 35. When heaven is shut, Solomon is praying on the day he dedicated the temple. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. If they pray towards this place, if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant and of thy people Israel. And you can read on and on and on and on. And verse 38. And verse 37. It says, "If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, we shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands towards this house. Then hear thou in heaven that dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men." And verse 44. "If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause." And so Daniel knew that they were in captivity. They were in the Babylonian captivity, handed over to the Medo-Persian captivity. And so he remembered the prayer of Solomon in the dedication of that temple, where God came down, his glory visibly filled the whole temple. And he remembered that prayer. And the Jews, wherever they are, Go and look for it in the whole world. When they build their temple, it will be facing the direction from where they are, where Jerusalem is. And so Daniel, it was already his habit. He didn't start it because of that degree. He only continued his normal Christian life. Don't do anything to show off to anybody. Just continue. The same thing that I was doing that made you to be jealous of me, I will continue doing it. I'm not going to add more now to provoke you. Don't provoke him. Don't go any further. You didn't reach that level before they hated you. So don't do more. Just continue. Praise the Lord. And so Daniel did not add trouble to himself. Daniel continued. Praise God.